بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد من لا نبي بعده سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, dear visitors, my dear young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of the parts of our bodies that He has blessed us with that we use for our benefit on a daily basis. And we begin by sending praises and salutations upon His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who with the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us how to use each and every single part of our body, how to use each and every single of our senses. Many of us are often concerned about our diets, right? So we're concerned about the type of food that we consume because we know of the health risks that are associated with certain types of foods. So we know that even though we are having, let's say, a steak, right, and it's going to go into our stomachs, we also know that for some people, that can cause problems, that can cause pains in their joints because of the high levels of uric acid which accumulate in their bodies, and then there's pain, gout pain. We also know that if we were to indulge in a nice big plate of poutine or fries or anything else that's fried, we know that it's going to go into our stomachs. Are you guys getting hungry? Yeah, it's going to go into our stomachs. But at the same time, we know that the fats and the oils and the grease that's contained in that plate of poutine and fries is also going to accumulate in our arteries and can eventually cause us heart problems. So we know this for our physical bodies. In the same way, our spiritual heart and our spiritual body also gets affected by whatever we consume. And we're in the season right now, right? Just like, for example, around Christmas time or during the winter holidays, people know that they're going to indulge in a lot of food normally because there's time off and you're visiting family. Right after that, what happens after New Year's? All the gyms and the fitness clubs, they all start sending out promotional material because they know everyone's going to want to go on a diet now and get rid of all that weight. In the same way, we're in a season right now where spiritually, especially now, we need to go on a diet. And the reason for that is because it's the time of year when our souls get affected more so because of what we see due to the weather. And what we see has a great impact. What we see, what we consume through our eyes, has a great, great, very profound impact on our hearts and on our souls. And this is one of the most lethal ways of damaging our spirituality, is through what we see. So just like when we eat food and we know it's going into our stomachs, but it also has other side effects, other things that it can do to our health. In the same way, when we see things, we know that the signal is being processed or is going through our eyes, they're being processed by our brain, right? Just like food goes straight into the stomach, but at the same time, there are other side effects, other things that can end up affecting negatively our hearts as well as our souls. Now, at this point, some of us might be thinking, well, okay, I'm not really the type of person who looks at anything that's inappropriate. I'm not really the type of person who looks at anything that's indecent or looks at, you know, people in a way that's inappropriate and so on and so forth. This is not part of my character. Or you might be thinking that, you know, this, we are, mashallah, believers and we are an educated community and, you know, who does this anymore? Let's have a reality check, because what we're talking about is not only what I mentioned, but also we're talking about what we watch on TV. We're also talking about the types of scenes that we come across in movies. We're also talking about the things that we see on the internet, and so on and so forth. And basically it has to do with whatever our eyes are consuming at any point, at any given moment. And of course, because we're in summertime and because people's dresses are more lighter, it becomes even more difficult. Also remember that we have seen cases, right, especially in the US over the past few months, where we've had very intelligent people, very popular people, very famous people, very intelligent people, people of high positions, politicians and others, who have gotten into trouble. who have gotten into trouble, and it all starts from the eyes. It all starts from the eyes, because when a person glances upon something that he or she starts liking, and a person's mind and heart starts going towards that, then that starts controlling, that's where it starts, and then the heart basically gets possessed by that. So it is extremely important to look at this issue, especially because we often don't talk about it, we often don't touch upon it, we often don't discuss it. So for starters, let's try to understand the importance of restraining our eyes. Why is it important? Why is it important for us to have power and control over our eyes? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبَصَارِهِمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next verse, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبَصَارِهِنَّ. He tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, tell the believing men, tell the believing women to lower their gazes. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah in his tafsir says regarding these verses that this is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his believing servants to lower their gaze from what? Does it mean you just walk around looking down all the time and crash into a pole? No. Okay? This is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his believing servants to lower their gaze from looking at things that have been prohibited for them. They should look only, this is Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, they should only look at what is permissible for them to look at and lower their gaze from forbidden things. If it so happens, being practical, right? Because it happens sometimes, you don't intend to see something, you're browsing on the internet, and all of a sudden, you know, you're doing something very benign, and all of a sudden this pop-up comes up, and you're like, oh my God, I hope no one saw me, right? Because it was something you didn't expect that would show up. So he says, if it so happens that a person's gaze unintentionally falls upon something forbidden, he should quickly look away. And this is the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also explains how different parts of the body can actually commit fornication, can actually commit adultery, can actually commit zina, right? And when we think of this, we think, okay, there's only one way of doing it. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that no, different parts of your body, including your hands, your eyes, your ears, right? All of these can be involved in zina. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the two eyes, and he says, zinahuma an-nadhar. The eyes, their zina, their fornication, their adultery is to take a lustful look. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very clearly, he doesn't say, do not commit fornication. He does not say, do not commit zina. Right? Instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wala taqrabu zina. Don't even go near it. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say, okay, here's a line, just don't do it. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't even go near it. And when we look at what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, when it comes to our hands and our eyes and our ears, we also learn that this order to not even go near it applies to our eyes as well. It applies to our eyes as well. Unfortunately, this is not something that is only common in Western society. You know, we like to blame people sometimes when we don't want to take responsibility. So we say, oh, it's their fault. You know, they're not Muslims, it's their fault. It's so-and-so's fault. It's so-and-so's fault. Unfortunately, the fact of the matter is that if you go to a Muslim country, in many Muslim countries, I can't generalize, but there are a number of societies, number of cities, number of Muslim countries where you go, and we see that our sisters, our mothers, our wives are harassed, are bothered by people, are gawked at by people, are stared at by people more so than they are here. This is extremely disgraceful behavior. I mean, I'm sure we all know this, right? But it just needs to be reiterated that this is extremely, extremely disgraceful behavior. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has instructed the believers, and specifically Ali radiallahu anhu, but generally an instruction to all the believers, that لَا تَتَّبِعِ النَّظْرَةَ النَّظْرَةَ. That if your gaze happens to fall upon something or someone that you weren't supposed to see, that is inappropriate to see, فَإِنَّ لَكَ الْأُولَى وَلَيْسَ لَكَ الْآخِرَةَ. So you have the first one, meaning the first one, because it happened by mistake, is forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so if it happens by mistake, if you didn't intend to see something, if you're browsing on the internet, something comes up all of a sudden, you didn't know that it was going to come, you weren't expecting it, you close the window, you move on, okay? But the second gaze, basically to turn back and to take it in, right? That is the one that is forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, taking it in is forbidden the first time around too, right? So it doesn't mean that just because the first one is forgiven, that you just prolong it for as long as you can. That's not what it means, right? What it means is, you turn around and then you make sure that you don't go back to it again. And even, it's sad to say, and you know, it's unfortunate that I have to say this here, but even when it comes to our weddings, right? Many of our weddings, we find that there is so much unrestrained public display of beauty, right? Which is in itself prohibited. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly tells us in the Quran what we are allowed to display and what we're not allowed to display. And what happens in these cases, very unfortunately, and I've heard this firsthand, okay, I've heard this from people firsthand, that what happens is those who have this disease in their hearts, those who are dealing with this issue, those who are grappling with this issue, take that opportunity. Enjoy that opportunity to feast off of that display and to get pleasure out of it and to check out the sisters. So this is a challenge for all of the believers. This is a challenge for all of the believers that when you come across someone, or when you come across something that you should not be looking at, challenge yourself not to go back and take that second look. Challenge yourself when something shows up, right? So on Facebook sometimes, right, there's this virus going around where it says, this photographer or someone committed suicide after taking this picture, and it's going around. And every time you click on it, it actually doesn't open it up, but it does, it posts this on your profile and says that you like it. Okay, so be careful of that, please. Okay, so every time that you are faced with that, or when you come across something on the internet which you know is inappropriate, challenge yourself. Challenge yourself. Can I, you know, if I think I'm a man, if you think, you know, you're a strong woman, can I have that much willpower to not click on it? Right? You know, we talk about strength, right? And guys like to flex their muscles and, you know, see how strong they are, right? True strength is not really in your muscles. True strength is how much control do you have over your eyes, right? It's something very small, right? Very small nerve. It doesn't take too much power to control, right? All you need to do is just go like this. That's all it takes, right? But it's so, so difficult for us sometimes. It's so difficult for us sometimes. So that's the challenge. Challenge yourself not to go back to it. And this applies, of course, not only to men, but to women as well, right? So there are sisters, there are women, right, within our communities who are Muslims, who, you know, look up to certain male figures, right? It could be an athlete, it could be a singer, for example, Justin Bieber, for example, right? And, you know, they'll get pleasure out of, you know, checking out pictures of Justin Bieber, thinking about Justin Bieber, fantasizing about Justin Bieber, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, right, that whatever we do, whatever we look at, whatever we think of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what we are watching, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us, and He says, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, check out the selection of words here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He knows the fraud, the treachery. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the fraud, the treachery of the eyes and all that the chest conceals. Right? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use the word fraud and treachery? Right? خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ. So every single look that you steal, right? Every single glance that you steal, thinking that, okay, well, nobody knows what I'm looking at, right? Nobody knows what I'm looking at. You know, I look like a normal person. I look, you know, my parents think I'm a good person. My friends think I'm a good person. I go to the masjid, so on and so forth. But every single glance, right, that we may happen to steal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us, even though we may think that, okay, no one else is watching, nobody will find out. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He's watching, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of the fraud that we are committing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of the treachery that we are committing, that our eyes are committing, by giving an appearance as one type of person, but when it comes to our eyes, we are not controlling them, and we are looking all over the place. So know that all of this, right, all of this, every single action, every single glance, every single iota of a word, of an action, is being recorded by the angels. Right? There's no getting away from that. Every single one of it is being recorded. Right? And it's actually one of the qualities of those who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hypocrites, we find in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that even on the day of resurrection, some will have the audacity to deny what the angels have recorded. So some will have the audacity to actually deny what the angels have recorded and will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh, the angels have made a mistake. I didn't actually do that. No, I didn't do that. No way. How could I ever do that? No, the angels don't know what they're doing. I made a mistake. Right? They'll have the audacity to say that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do is say, okay, all right, no problem. And then the hands, the mouth, the tongue will be sealed up, right? And the parts of the body will be asked to speak and to give testimony about what they actually did or what this person made them do, right? And then the hands will start talking and the eyes will start talking. The tongue will actually start speaking as well, meaning it's on its own authority, and will basically spill all the beans. Will spill everything that this person had committed throughout their life that they were trying to hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He's talking about His enemies in the Quran, says, حَتَّى إِذَا مَا جَاءُهَا شَهِدَ عَلَيْهِمْ سَمَعُهُمْ وَأَبَصَارُهُمْ وَجُلُودُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Till when they reach their destination of punishment, their hearing, meaning their ears, their eyes, and their skins will testify against them as to what they used to do. So now imagine standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Imagine you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your eyes are speaking. Your eyes are speaking. These two eyes that you have are speaking in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're detailing every single little indecent thing that you used to look at. Every single thing that you ever looked at, these eyes are speaking in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So while you were walking down the street, and the people or things that you looked at, or the billboards that you stared at, or the people that you checked out at parties, or scenes that you saw in movies or on TV that were inappropriate, and things that you would sneak off on the internet and look at, all of these things are being detailed, are being described in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person finds himself, just think, if you find yourself in that situation, what face are you going to show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Right, and this goes for all parts of our bodies, right? So if we used our hands to abuse people, if we used our hands to steal, if we used our feet to walk towards things that are prohibited, if we used our fingers to type things that were prohibited, right, or things that were inappropriate, imagine all of our parts of our body in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala detailing that, yes, he did this, yes, she did this, and did this as well, and did this as well. And then we find ourselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What face are we going to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Let us not deceive ourselves. Let us not deceive ourselves thinking that we can get away with stuff. Thinking that what we do has no effect on us and our face. Let's not deceive ourselves by thinking that whatever we see has no effect on us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, النَّظْرَةُ سَهْمٌ مِّن سَهَامِ إِبْلِيسِ, that the furtive glance, the lustful look, is one of the poisoned arrows of shaitan. What is it? It's one of the poisoned arrows of shaitan. This is very interesting because if a person takes in poison and goes into their bodies, what happens? It has the ability to leave parts of their body dead, right? So it can cause tissue death, muscle death, and death of different parts of the body. In the same way, these glances, these things that we may come across on a regular basis when we're watching TV, these things that we come across on a regular basis when we're watching movies, these are like poison that go into a person's spirituality. These are like poison pills that go into a person's spirituality. And what it causes is this. It causes spiritual weakness and spiritual death. Right, so a person's iman, a person's faith starts to weaken. A person starts cultivating false hopes and false desires, false fantasies, and distorts a person's perception of reality. Because what they see is not always attainable. What they see is not always real. And that causes all of this fakeness to start growing inside a person. And thus we find, brothers and sisters who have perhaps shallow expectations, right, of one another. And when this is not realized, in marriage, when those expectations are not met, then it causes problems in them. And once we fall into it, right? So we fall. It's very addictive, right? So if you fall into it once, it's very easy to fall into it a second time, and then a third time, and then a fourth time, and then a fifth time, and the cycle keeps repeating itself and keeps repeating itself to the point where Shaitan tries to play a major trick on you. Okay? To the point where Shaitan tries to play a major trick on you, and that is that, you know what? You've already done all of this, right? You've gone so far that you're past the point of no return. Okay, there's no point. You can't return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you've committed this sin, you've committed these acts so many times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't even want to see you anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't love you anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates you now. And then shaitan tries to get a person to just continue going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper in that sin. So never, ever, ever fall for that trick of shaitan. Never, ever fall for that trick. Right? Shaitan will try to get you to that point. And shaitan's going to start off with something very small, right? So he starts off with something very small and then tries to get you to do that. Because if shaitan were to come to you and say, okay, disbelieve in Allah right now, you're not going to do that. You're crazy. I'm sitting inside the masjid. I'm here for Jummah. I'm not going to disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? But shaitan will try to get you to do something very small. Something very small. And then you think, well, it's not really a big deal. And then shaitan will try to get you to move ahead a little bit next time around. Right? Try to build momentum. And slowly and slowly and slowly, as you keep growing ahead and ahead and ahead and ahead, he'll keep trying to lead you forward, 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 until you fall off the cliff. So always be careful of that. Can we just move forward, inshallah, brothers especially? Because we have some brothers waiting in the back. Jazakallah khair. Another thing that happens is that we start becoming desensitized. We start becoming desensitized, right? So something that was considered, you know, bad, was considered appropriate when I was a kid, is not considered inappropriate anymore. Something that was considered inappropriate when you were a child is not considered appropriate anymore, is considered appropriate now. And something that is not considered inappropriate, I'm confusing myself, sorry. Something that is considered inappropriate now, in the future, will not be considered to be inappropriate, it will be considered to be appropriate. And what happens is, as we keep taking all of this in, as we keep taking all of this garbage into our system, all of this in food terminology will be junk food, right? So as we keep taking in all this filth into our system through our eyes, right, our sensitivity level goes down. We start becoming immune to it. We start becoming immune, it starts appearing normal, and what happens then? It starts going from only seeing to actual actions. Because if a person keeps seeing someone do something, right, and starts thinking that it's okay, it's not going to take much for that person to actually go and start indulging in that as well. Okay, always remember that as well. So let's be extremely careful. Extremely careful, especially when it comes to our children. Especially when it comes to our children. Nowadays, you know, kids will, especially young children, right, mashallah, very smart, especially with devices like this, right, will be on YouTube and looking at stuff, and or we'll be sitting in front of the TV flipping through channels. Let's be very careful about what our children are actually taking in. Right? What exactly are our children learning from these cartoons? What messages are they getting from the shows that they're watching? Right? Is it teaching them indecency? Is it teaching them immorality? Is it teaching them that it's okay, you know, to indulge and do all of these things that we know are wrong and that we know are appropriate? So the question is, how do we push back? Right? How do we resist these temptations? What can we do about it? It can be very, very challenging. There's no question about that. Right? So in summertime, and people have asked me about this, right? What do you do? What do you do in this type of situation? Right? Everywhere you look, you're going to see something that's inappropriate. What are we supposed to do in this situation? What can we do in this situation? So here are a few pointers. First of all, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never underestimate the power of Allah's protection. Never underestimate the power of dua. Never underestimate the power of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person is continuously involving themselves in reciting du'as, in doing dhikr, and taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, if a person continuously keeps doing that, it becomes very difficult to sin in that state. Right? How are you going to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you're continuously taking His name and you're totally conscious of His presence. So that's the first thing. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember Him much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, uzkuru Allah dhikran kathira. O you who believe, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remember Him much. Kathira. So that's the first thing. Secondly, remember accountability. Remember that when we die, we don't get a free pass. Okay, we are accountable for every single action of ours. Right? So when we are committing a sin, and especially when it comes to our eyes, think, is this really worth it? Right? Is this 5 seconds, 10 seconds, this few minutes, right, of pleasure that I'm getting by looking at this, is it really worth it? Is it really worth the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it really worth the punishment that can come with that? Spend time with those who are of noble character and modesty. Right? Good people are a good influence. Try to surround yourself with people who are good, who are not involved in these things. People who can remind you, who can create a culture, a positive culture, where you feel embarrassed. Where you feel embarrassed to indulge in such things. Avoid friends that are this is very important. Avoid friends that are into bad jokes, immoral movies, and so on and so forth. Okay? So if you have friends who tend to, you know, joke around in a bad way, who tend to crack indecent jokes, who use bad language, who are into watching movies that are inappropriate, avoid them. Avoid them. Because you know what's going to happen? They're going to entrap you in this artificial world. You're going to end up being entrapped in this artificial world of fantasies, of desires, and false hopes. You're not going to get anywhere good. Avoid watching TV and watching the internet, especially when you're alone. And visiting malls, visiting shopping centers, visiting malls, visiting parks when you're alone. Try to do, if you need to do these things, try to do them with others when there's other good people around you. Because shaitan tries to catch you when you're alone. Shaitan's going to try to catch you when you're alone, right? He's going to try to tell you, well, okay, you know what? No one's watching. Well, different things work on different people, right? So if somebody needs a bit of a boost, it'll be bad friends that will give that boost. If somebody doesn't really need a boost, you know, if the presence of other people is going to be a detrimental for shaitan to get them to sin, then shaitan will try to catch you when you're alone and try to convince you that, look, no one's watching right now. It's okay. No one's watching. No one's going to find out, you know, what channel you stop a bit longer at, okay? No one's going to see, you know, you could delete your history and your files and so on, and your bookmarks. No one's going to know where you went, okay? So always try to ensure that you have good company around you that can keep you in check. For brothers, and this is really very important again, for brothers, when you have these type of thoughts, remember your mother and your sisters. Remember your mother and your sisters. Would you like someone else to be feasting off of them in the same way? Would you like someone else to be looking at them in the same way? Most probably not. So think that whoever you're looking at, and whoever, you know, you're taking pleasure out of looking at, they are also someone's sisters and someone's mothers. And finally, increase your good actions. Increase your good actions. Or the Prophet ﷺ has advised that remain conscious of Allah and fear Him wherever you are, and follow a bad deed with a good deed which will wipe it out. So if you ever happen to find yourself in a situation where you do commit a sin, when you do something that is inappropriate, when you do look at something that is inappropriate, immediately try to follow that up with something that is good, with a good action. Say astaghfirullah, give some charity, offer 2 rak'ah of nafl prayer, you know, do something, recite some Qur'an, do something that will wipe that out. Wipe that out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to exert control over our gazes and avoid all of those things. Avoid all of those things which have a negative impact on our faith and our souls. I also request you, a special request that has come in, to make dua for a brother and his family. He has extended family in Kingston, but he's in Toronto. And essentially what has happened is that his wife gave birth to their second child, and within a day or two, she actually had cardiac arrest, I believe, and severe brain damage as well, and she's brain dead. So please make dua for them. It's a very, very difficult situation where you have a father who already has a young child, and then a newborn child now, and the mother is essentially brain dead, and they're, you know, trying to call family from overseas before they pull the ventilator on her. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease their suffering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease the trouble that he's going through. Always remember that whatever pain and suffering we go through comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every single, you know, little suffering that we may go through, we get rewarded for that. And our sins are wiped out for that. But nonetheless, it's a very tragic situation, a very sad situation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease their suffering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease their minds and give them what is best in this world and in the hereafter.